via new. They were like, oh, you don't really get very many plug ones anymore. And there was like only one, and then they had to order it in and blah, blah, blah.
How do ovens that aren't plug ovens work? Like, how does that work?
They're like they're like whatever integrated into the mains or into
Yeah.
which is what normal ovens, hence why you need someone to, whereas I can just plug mine in, hopefully.
Is that, I mean, why is it better or worse? I mean, pros
I'm
and cons.
gonna imagine it's worse. I mean, my kitchen does trip quite a lot, and I think that now that I've realized that, I'm like, maybe that's why.
Yeah, we have had to have the roofers in, and they've quoted us an obscene amount of money, which apparently is very normal for roofers. Obscene amount of money to fix a leak in, on the first floor of our house. It's really weird. It's like coming in through the sides, and oh my God, just give up with my hair. And so that's an obscene amount of money. So James and I were like coming to terms with that, and then we had the we had our boiler service yesterday, and the guy was like, "Yeah, you need a new boiler." So that's right. I mean, the amount of money that we're about to spend makes me feel very nervous, to be honest. But there you go. And I booked a holiday for Bodie. This is going to be a very expensive couple months for me.
Well, I remember I had to buy a new boiler for here, and they were like, yeah, every single boiler in these apartments blows. And then the boiler above me blew, and that's
Yeah.
why I had that huge leak. And it's just like,
Being an adult is shit.
owning a house is not fun.
Like the amount of money. Anyway, we're doing
Anyway.
it again.
Oh, sorry, we're actually here. How are
We're
you?
actually meant to be working. I'm just exhausted with Bodhi cough, my cough, James's cough, that my whole house at night just sounds like a, I don't know, infirmary. It's awful. How are you?
I'm good. I moved to London on Sunday.
Oh my God. Battersea, right?
Or technically Nine Elms, but yeah.
There's a my exact address in Battersea, and it's the other side of London to me, and I always accidentally end up halfway to Battersea, and I'm like, wait, 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 wait. And then I'm like, oh my God, I've done it again. It's happened to me 3 times since I moved here.
That would actually be really annoying.
It's really
Doing
bad.
an Uber or something.
Well, I'm about to get banned from driving, so it's not going to be a problem for much longer.
Well, I mean, it will be in the Uber.
I just, but no, post Uber works on postcode, no?
Oh yeah, true.
That's why I keep fucking
What,
it
so are
up.
they, do you think you're gonna get banned?
Definitely. I mean, I spoke, so I've got like 20 somethings in a 20 and 150 something in a 50. And I spoke to my solicitor the other day, and he was like, there's nothing I can do. Like, you're over, there's proof, there's evidence. He's like, you live in London, you can afford to get Ubers, you're in like the best place in the world for public transport. He's like, there is literally
London.
nothing. I know. He was like, there's nothing I can do. He said that. He's like, if you're in the country with Bodie, maybe. And I was like, is there no argument for how like completely like insignificant these overages are? And he was like, look, I agree with you on like a personal level. He was like, but on a legal level, you're over. It's that simple. It's over. And I was like, damn it. So I was like, so what do I do now? And this is what really scares me. He's like, so they sent me like a plea thing. He's like, you just ignore it and you just wait for them to charge you. And I'm like, but there's a deadline for me to plea. And he was like, yeah, don't do it. Just wait for them to charge you without you having to plea. And I was like, oh my God, really? He was like, yes, this is my job. And I was like, okay. So I'm just sat here knowing that I have a legal letter telling me there's a deadline on it. And I'm literally being instructed just to ignore it.
See stuff like that though, I'm like, can you just put that in writing that you've told me
I
not,
know.
because you're like, okay, but what about, are you
Yeah.
sure that, yeah.
Especially me, like I have previous with driving, so I'm just like, Oh well. Okay, let's move on. Anything on the live?
Yeah, Nikki's just saying roofers are the worst. I'm sure hashtag not all roofers, but
They are the
we've been
worst.
having our roof replaced since August. They just got to a certain point and then have just decided to piss off. Do you know what I think it is with roofers though? It's like there's really, like they kind of have a premium on you, and that like you know
You
if
need
you're
your roof.
going to take it, like
It's literally called, the saying is literally a roof over our head.
yeah.
It's so, because initially we actually had a load of cowboys. I should have known the second I met them, the second I opened the door to them, it should have dawned on me. We had a load of cowboys come in, did fuck all, charged us 5 grand, paid it. Actually, you know what? They came back to ask for the money, and James was like, you haven't done it. and it got really hairy. And this is James we're talking about here. So like, and if he was like, no, this is no joke. He was like, just take money, just take it. We were basically robbed. Daylight robbery, genuine. So this is a really good reputable company, but it's fucking expensive. And everyone I speak to about it is like, oh yeah, roofing's like, really, that'll cost you. It's like, fuck.
I think it is because one of my best mates is the scaffolder, right? So I know like how much that, even just that cost. I think even just
that, we've already paid for that one. That's a fucking bomb.
Yeah.
You're like, mate, how do you justify this? How are you justifying this? This is insane.
Anyway, Elizabeth's saying, I remember when it was raining inside your apartment, Emma. Yes, good times.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, oh, it won't be that bad because surely the upstairs flat will pay for that, and not being that stressed about it, and then realizing,
oh no.
I'm kind of glad I didn't know that in the moment, though.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, oh, well, not my problem. It's clearly their problem. Turns out, wrong. My problem.
Ignorance is bliss. Oh my god, my top matches my hoodie.
What day? we're up to date.
Okay. I mean, I think this is going to be a really short live because we got through all the questions last time.
Okay, I've got one here.
Okay, go on.
Dearest Clemma, I have something exciting to share. I don't usually weigh myself. I go by my clothes to gauge my progress. However, because of the doctor's appointment, I know I began this round. Oh, sorry. That was me that read that wrong. Because of the doctor's appointment, I began this round about 70 kilograms. I have noticed the dreaded muffin top is getting smaller. So today I got on the scales 65 kilograms. That's so amazing to me. It's so encouraging. I feel one step closer to my old jeans again. That is amazing. Well done.
Well done. Nicely done.
And also a really good point to make is I think there's, when you point this out, it really seems quite obvious, but there is this kind of like underlying thought that a lot of people have that you need to weigh yourself to lose weight.
Mm.
Like this is such a good example of just got on with nailing the habits, focusing on how I feel, on exercising, on sticking to my diet, you know, and then I lost weight without overstressing about it. And I just noticed I was feeling better and then I weighed myself. Like I am willing to bet between that 70 kilograms and 65, there was also 71 and then down to 63 and then back up to 65, you know, like blah, 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 blah. Like there will have been loads of fluctuations within that. Would have probably put you off if you were constantly checking them and overthinking them. So well done.
I completely agree. Absolutely brilliant points. It's such a distraction if all you're focusing on is the scales, and it takes you away from focusing on what you should be focusing on, which is, am I hitting a minimum of 8K steps a day or a minimum of 60K steps per week, or, you know, 3 to 4 workouts a week, or, you know, okay, fine. So I went over calories a little bit on Saturday, but did I rein it the fuck back in on Sunday? Like the really important things that are going to get you to your goals. And then people get so hyper-focused on something, they're like, oh, it's not working, and they give up. And it's like, if you'd carried on with that momentum in week one all the way through to week 8, you'd be in pretty fucking mega shape by now. You would have made a lot of progress by now. But it's this constant like, oh, so that's where we say like, look, we want the daily weigh-ins. We want to be a bit of a reality check to you guys. You see yourself go boom, 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 boom. And you're like, oh, okay. And you don't take it so seriously. You take your lowest weekly weight. And hopefully by week 3 or 4, we've seen a nice drop. And if you haven't, you check in with Emma and I. But to hyper-focus on it on an acute day-to-day level, it's going to fucking ruin your progress and your enjoyment of it. So yeah, not something that we want all of you to do if actually it doesn't work for you and it goes the other way, because that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That it?
Yeah.
Okay. Laura. Hi, Clemma. Can you help give strategies with how to keep motivated long-term with diet and fitness, please? Ooh, this is the one I think we talk about the most. I'm going to take a beat for this one and I'm going to give it to Emma.
Thank you. how to keep motivated long-term?
Yeah, as in like how to keep going, you know.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is depending on the day and probably just depending on how we spoke about it last time, we'll just take a slightly different tact.
Sometimes my brain's like, my brain's like a deflated balloon that just goes, and I'm like,
I mean, there's loads of different ways you can approach this. Realistically, are you always going to be motivated? No. And I think the best way to stay consistent without necessarily relying on motivation is, sure, use motivation when you've got it, but realize that it's not always going to be there and you need to ingrain these habits, right? It needs to really become a part of your life.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this morning because I was talking to someone who was struggling with overeating, and I was trying to get like the shame and stigma away from that. Like, everybody struggles with it. Everyone. It is a completely normal human urge. But given the way that our environment is now, you're going to need to figure out how to avoid consistently overeating. Like, anyone who wants to stay fit and healthy in our environment needs to make a conscious effort to do that.
Yeah.
In a way that actually we probably didn't used to have to do, because there wasn't this abundance of food and most of our jobs were quite active. And when I was in the gym today, I was a bit like, it is interesting that until relatively recently, you would never use your quote unquote leisure time to exercise.
Mm.
Like, unless like in ancient Greek times, you're playing sport or wrestling or something like that. But like, generally, you have an active life because your job is active, and you don't have to do something to stimulate muscle growth because your life is active anyway. But now we're at a point where, you know, if you want to stay active in our very sedentary environment, you're going to have to make an effort to do so. It's not going to happen by accident. You're also not going to stay lean by accident. Like,
yeah,
you have to make conscious decisions around your food intake that mean that you're not eating too many calories. Like, there's one element is like the acceptance of that, and embrace it is just like, yeah, okay, cool. You also have to brush your teeth to keep healthy teeth. You also have to go to work to make money. Like, it's a fact of life.
Yeah.
And then also accepting that you're not always going to be motivated. But I really feel like when people say that, there is almost like the underlying like victim mentality of like, oh, I should always feel like, why do I have to do things that I don't want to do? It's like, well, you do in every other area of your life. So
yeah, look, this is a perfect example of this, is the roofing situation and the boiler situation. I don't want to fucking spend that money, but I need hot water and a boiler that doesn't explode while me and my family are asleep at night. And I need a roof over my head. It's like, I don't want to, but I got to do it. And like, there is an element of, and this is absolutely not aimed at you at all. This is just a coaching reframe of like, grow up. You just got to get on with it. Like, this is life. Being an adult sucks. Like, so I completely agree with Emily. Like, the reframe of, who was it? It was Polly, wasn't it? Polly, who put a quote in the group in the last round, which I fucking loved. Classic Polly. This is her job. She's a therapist, so she's good at the old reframe. But she was, the quote was like, stop fighting against it and seeing it as a challenge and wholly accept it as the way it is, as a part of life. And then it stops being a challenge and it just is a part of life. As Emma just said, we always use the brushing your teeth analogy, the paying your taxes analogy, the fucking new roof. Just accept it and get on with it and try and find the enjoyment in it. All of you have paid money to come here to get something that you really, really want. And then it's so funny. And again, this is not targeted at anyone. This is a coach trying to help you reframe that the whole way everyone kind of moans about it. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're literally exchanging something to get something that you really, really want. How cool is that? So go get it. Go get it. And like I say, always think about, how's it going to feel when you get there? Do jump forward of like, okay, but what's it going to feel like when I'm actually there? When I actually feel so fucking self-confident in my own skin and I can wear that dress and I can squat 60 kg and I can run 5K, whatever it is, I can start my IVF treatment. That's what you're here to get. Focus on that. And that same for long term, you know, for me, you know, recently we talked about this, like I kind of got out of shape a bit. And I just didn't, to be honest, I just didn't want to be that person that was out of shape. I just don't want to be that. So I have to change my ways and sort my fucking shit out. And it just is what it is. And my reward is that I'm not that person that's out of shape. Like, for me, obviously, this is what I do for a living. Like, I don't want to be like that. So yeah, focus on the goal and how and what, you know, why you want it and how great it's gonna be.
And then I think embrace self-discipline as well, because that gets you the things that you really want. Like, almost anything that's really worth having requires that element of delayed gratification, right? You can do something now for the reward later.
Mm-hmm. And
we talk about this quite a lot, but just the frame of like parenting yourself is such a good frame, because I think so many people get stuck through diet culture that diet and exercise is like a punishment, and you really need to reframe that. Okay, well, what would you tell someone that you love to do? You'd probably get them to go to the gym at least 3 times a week. You'd get them to go out for a walk every day. You'd want their diet to be full of healthy, nutritious food. Like, what do you want for your kids? That's the kind of frame of it. It's like, yeah, you love them, you're going to support them, you're not going to shame them into making change, you're not going to, you know, beat them for having a donut or something, but are you going to be you're not meant to beat your okay, you're not gonna psychologically bully them for having a donut, right? But you are gonna be like, okay, well then for dinner we should probably get some vegetables in, right?
Yeah.
Treat yourself, like, treat yourself in the same way. Like, treat yourself like someone you want the best for, because ultimately you do. So start working with yourself, not against yourself.
Yeah. And you know, we learn this as especially women, victims of Disney programming. But we learn this especially as women as we get older. There is a bit of a penny drop where it's like, no one is riding over that hill to save you. You're out here on your own, and you're out here for yourself. And you can be really scared of that. We all remember that dawning moment when we were like, you can be really scared and intimidated by that, or you can accept it as the way it is, and you can pick yourself up by your bootstraps and you can charge forward and take care of yourself.
Do you remember the moment when you realized that?
Yeah, when I realized I couldn't afford my tax bill, I'd spent all the money that I should have saved because I'm self-employed to pay all my taxes. And I was like, oh, and I suddenly realized, like, oh my God, like, oh God, I'm a responsible adult now, and it's me for me. And yeah, I've had, yeah. And then every moment since, like, you know, we're in the demise of my marriage to James, just like waiting for him to fix it, or like waiting for things to get fixed, and then realizing, like, oh no. Oh no, I have to make a decision now. It happens all the time. It happens with Bodhi a lot. Like, yeah, it happens. You know, whenever, maybe actually it's a testament to my parents for making me feel so protected growing up. But yeah, it's scary.
I don't like it. Do you know the first time I remember feeling that is when I did a poo off the side of a boat.
What?
Yeah, I remember we were on a sailing holiday, right? And I think that it must have been quite a small boat that there wasn't a toilet on. And I was like young, right? And so I think I was like too scared of it anyway. And obviously I needed to poo, right? So I had to poo offside a bit. My mum said that she would give me £2 if I did it, but it was like a new £2 coin. Like, I've never seen one before. So I was like, fine, I did it. And then I was playing with the £2 coin and I dropped it over the side of the boat. And it was the first, like, because normally, well, maybe not normally, but I think I just expected that she'd be like,
hey, I have another one.
It's another one. Or like, oh, well, we'll try and find you another one or something. She's like, well,
there you go.
If you play with money at the side of a boat, then you drop it, like, that's it, gone. And that was like the first time I was like, wow, if I lose something, like, you know, like, it's gone. My parents aren't just going to get me another one.
Good parenting. That's really good parenting. I listened to this amazing like therapist, and he talks a lot about raising kids. And he's always like, I think I've already said this on this podcast recently, but he said, stop teaching your kids that life is fair. Life is not fair. He was like, and start teaching your kids, this is unrelated, but another thing, start teaching your kids that not everybody's going to like them. And that's perfectly okay. It's perfectly fine. And these are two things I'm like, yeah.
True. Okay. Right. Oh, right. Okay. We've got quite a lot of questions now.
Oh, fab.
Okay, Donna. Hi, Clemmer. I just want to thank you for the last live. Listening to you both giving advice really helped my focus this week after my big wobble. I took note, sat down, and made a plan. I'm still a little stressed about the upcoming wedding. Now only 10 weeks, but I'm in control. I'm not letting the scales dictate how my day goes. It was a pep talk that I needed to hear, even though it wasn't my question on the live. I'm fully focused, chasing things in line with my goals, and started believing in myself that I can do it. So thank you. Oh, yeah. I love that.
And you know what? There's common themes with all of you. We keep talking about it's human. It's human. And you know, self-belief is one of them. Or like, you know, you have a hard day and you're like, I can't do this. And then you're off the wagon. And then it gets even harder because you're like, you fucked it up. If you just had the hard day and stayed the course, it would have been in the medium term a lot fucking easier. And you need to all remember that, you know, the more you kind of throw in the towel, the harder you're going to make it for yourself thereafter. Just have the shit day, just push through and crack on. And I promise you it will end.
It is hard. I think the self-belief thing and even like resilience to just, because everyone throughout their day is just going to have little shitty things happen to them. And it's like, who can just brush it off and carry on and like how sometimes it kind of knocks you off track. And I definitely find like for myself, and I know that this is only heightened in perimenopausal women, which so many people on the EC method are, is like the resilience to withstand those things. Like the week before my period, like the smallest thing can go wrong and I'm like, that's ruined my whole day. Or like, you know, like it was just massively impacted.
Yeah.
Whereas other, like, you know, other parts of the month, I'm like, loads can go wrong. And I'm pretty like, okay, well, okay, how do we fix it? Like I'm immediately like quite like a can do, okay, we can't do that, so what are we gonna do instead? But then there are like 3 or 4 days where I'm like, I have no resilience. Now, if you're really in the depths of struggling with perimenopausal symptoms, that can be really freaking hard because you're feeling like that consistently. And sometimes, like, to me, I can rationalize it. I'm like, huh, that's why you feel like that. Whereas when you don't know when that's coming and it can fluctuate throughout the month, like, it's,
I think what I can't remember the exact statistics, so I might speak wrong on this, but it is astronomical. It's something like 80,000 women like walk away from their jobs or lose their jobs every year because of menopausal symptoms. Again, don't quote me on that exact figure, but it's something like that. And my friend Zoe, she came on my podcast and she said that. And I was like, holy shit, it really speaks a lot to it. And like Emma said, like if you're not like, if it's just right, if you're in it, and you didn't see it coming and then you're just in it, how do you know? Like, it's really shit. You know, 3 of my friends now have gone through early menopause. And like, I know, Emma, you know someone as well. And I was just like thinking about it. Like, it's actually a lot more common than I think people realize. It's just really annoying, but totally manageable. I don't want to doom and gloom. Totally like dealable with and manageable, but still quite surprising when you look at the numbers. It is quite surprising.
Yeah, I guess like in some ways, it's the best time in history to go through it because so many more people know about it. They're talking about it. I think so many of those stats around like women losing their jobs and stuff was because, or walking away from their jobs, is because they didn't know what was going on. They were like, I can't remember things, or I'm not able to do this job anymore. I can't. And once you know what's going on and you can get treated, not to say that it then becomes easy, but it's like you say, manageable in comparison to like feeling like you've lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're all right.
Yeah, no, I'm just still ill. Cracking on.
Okay, Rebecca. Hi, both. I asked about going to maintenance for a couple of weeks and Chloe said, oh, no, wait, going to maintenance a couple of weeks ago. And Chloe said to have a couple of weeks with consistent calories, which I've done. I think I was 72 kilograms. I'm now 69 kilograms. So probably... Nice. Don't want to go much lower. I've done 1800 calories through the week and then 2000 weekends. What do you think I should do next? Thank you. Up your calories.
Is she saying she now wants to go into maintenance?
Yeah, she wants to be at maintenance, but she's been consistent for a few weeks and is still losing.
And she's 1800 Monday to Friday, 2000 Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I would just make it even 2000 across the board and see what happens. Do it, let's do it slowly.
Or even so, like if you're quite happy with like going a little bit lower during the week, maybe 1900 on the week, 2100 on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Not too big jumps either from where you are now or between the two. Just think of that. We like to keep things kind of in a region. But yeah, agree with Emma, both options, either or whatever.
Okay. I am nearing the time to switch to maintenance. This is where I always fail in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I've not made the switch to maintenance calories because of fear of putting weight back on, so end up in a horrible binge restrict cycle. Or I've just gone back into old habits and my weight has creeped up again. I'm 5'5", 60 kilograms, 4 workouts a week, and probably at the lower end of the step target. I've been hitting a range of 1500, 1700 calories, trying to hit my lower end on my activity. I'm just wondering what a target for maintenance range would be?
So again, everything we said to the question, like the long term, how do we have long term motivation, applies here as well. Like, first, the acceptance that the habits that got you here are the habits you're going to have to maintain, and be excited about that, because you're finally going to have a long term period of your life where you're happy in the body that you're in. But you certainly don't need to be in a deficit. Obviously, there are certainly going to be times that you have untracked meals, or, you know, weeks away from the gym. Like, that's okay too. So that, in terms of your perspective on things, don't be scared. If you're losing here, this is a deficit for you. So 1500 to 1700, kind of what we said before, why don't you come up to an even like 1700 across the board and see what happens? We like to take it slowly. If you want to be on the lower end of activity, that's absolutely fine. As long as you're doing the bare minimums, we're fine with that. But bear in mind that the higher your activity goes, the higher we can climb your calories for maintenance. So just keep that in mind, that understanding of it. But if you're on the lower end and you're happy and you're doing the bare minimum, we're happy. We'll start with 1700, or why don't we come up to a range of 1600 to 1800? You know, we'll slowly do it until we get you there. But also, for psychological reasons, we like to take it slow anyway. Emma, what do you think?
Nothing to add. Nailed it. Okay, Elizabeth, can I just say the most amazing thing is that I'm not even a tiny bit concerned about the weight creeping back up, because I know what to do and I'm actually doing it. As someone who's been in a couple of rounds without actually engaging, and in some rounds hitting all the targets, as Emma says, you get out what you put in with this program. The community, the coaching, the support, there is nothing like it. This is the best program ever. Thank you, Clemmer. Love you both so much. Oh, someone, Elizabeth.
Oh, babe. It makes us really happy. But we get that support back too. I mean, you know, I talk to you guys, including Elizabeth, about a lot of personal stuff, and you support me back. And Emma, on Friday, I was away with friends and family at Farmhouse all day, and Emma just did every single tag. And I woke up the next day and I was like, I fucking love Emma Story Gordon. Like, we're all in it together. We're all here to help each other. And it's such a fucking brilliant space. We love you guys. Honestly, it works both ways.
Couldn't agree more. Okay, Nikki, adulthood is literally just working your ass off to pay other people money that you don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy, I know you've spoken about not worrying about weight, but I've lost 5 pounds since I started. I know my body shape is slimming down, particularly under my bra area. I've checked my progress pics. I've been on diets before, and I always manage to lose this 5 pounds, and then I get stuck. I'm doing 5 workouts a week, plus over 10,000 steps a day. Lots of days, way more than this. I'm 5'4" and I want to lose about 2.5 stone, but I'm just worried the weight isn't coming off. I'm doing 1700, 1900, and this week, no change again. I've changed to 1600. Is this okay? Yeah, I'd keep in a range of 1600 to 1800. Obviously, if you want to speed up fat loss, be closer to the 1600 side of that range. And honestly, the likelihood is, and we hear this a lot, by the way, that you lose that first 5 pounds pretty quickly because you have more weight to lose, right? Then it's going to slow a little bit. It's not going to stop, but you probably won't see it every single week, week on week. But when you say like, oh, this is where I always get to, and then I never get past it, is honestly, it's because you've given up too soon. Like, you will see a weight drop. Trust me, just stay consistent on this. And the mistake that most people make is either dropping their calories too low too quickly, or assuming it doesn't work, getting pissed off and then just giving up altogether.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like you're hitting a very normal stall after you've lost. Like, 5 pounds is quite a significant amount of weight, believe it or not. If you see what 5 pounds of body fat looks like, it's significant, like very significant. And then you inevitably hit a stall for 2, 3, 4 weeks, let's say, and you're like, fuck this. But again, full circle back to what we were saying earlier, if you just kept going, before you know, you're like, oh, I just lost another 2 pounds. And then 2 weeks later, oh, I lost another pound. And it starts to come off slower, fewer and further between, but it's still happening. And you just need to keep doing the things that you should be doing to make it still happen, instead of going like, oh shit, I didn't see another 2 pounds on the scale this week. Fuck it, I'm out. Don't do that. Keep going. And it's kind of psychological as well, being like, I always lose 5 pounds and then I give up. It's like, the more you tell yourself that story, the more you set in stone that ending. So stop doing that. do this story instead.
Okay. Samantha, my periods and PMT and everything to do with it was hell for me for years. Menopause was scary until I joined the EC method, and you make me feel like there is support and ways to manage it. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're up to date.
Yeah, if it's raining or if there's something happening outside my house. Very odd noises. Okay, Julie, hey Clemmer. I noticed all of the gym workouts are dumbbell or bar related. However, I found myself much preferring the machines. Is there more benefit to using free weights? I think my subconscious has figured out that the machines are easier for some reason, even though I always try to really push myself on them. Is there not really any difference? Thank you. Machines are great in terms of muscle hypertrophy, great. They're less technical. You don't need to use your core strength. It's a very easy way to get the same results that you would get. Maybe not on your core, like that might not be as well worked or used. And I wouldn't really rather that you were doing them just because you find them easier. We like a good little switch up here and there, but it's nice, but we like a switch up. So, you know, Emma, what do you think? Actually, you know what? You should have answered that because it's your workouts.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of benefits to free weights. And also, if you think it's easier because you're using the same weight on a machine as you would in the free weights, then that's definitely why it's easier, right? Like, if you can imagine if you were like, oh, I did leg press with 40 kilograms, way easier than squatting 40 kilograms. Like, fuck yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. So yeah.
You know, so it depends how you're comparing the two. You can absolutely push yourself on machines. And there are some people that I'd be like, okay, you know, a lot of Chloe's back supported workouts, back and knee injury supported workouts are mostly machine based because there's a lower injury risk, right? And it's better at isolating certain muscle groups. But yeah, like having some kind of free weights in there is definitely a good thing.
What did I hit on leg press the other day? This is all my new PBs are like post Bodhi PBs. What did I hit? I think I hit 190.
Well, PBs.
PBB. I hit like 100, it was 190, 100, somewhere in the 190 range. And I was like, go on.
Go on.
I love the leg press. I find it like, again, really challenging, but also really easy at the same time. Cause yeah, when I squat, I'm like, oh my God, I was doing goblet squats then. I was like, oh, there's so much pain. Like a goblet squat. Okay.
Kathy's just saying, thank you, lady. You're still feeling confident and defo not going to quit this time. It's the best plan I've ever done. And even my husband is surprised I'm so determined. Oh, I love that.
I love that. And just to be clear, like I've been a little bit of like a savage coach today, but like I keep saying, it's not aimed at anyone. It's just the reframe for you guys. And actually, you know what? Our tough love moments seem to get a lot of gratitude. So, yeah.
I also think that's why so many of the clients on the EC method get great results is because they take that stuff on board. And I hope that you guys know as well enough to know that, like, we want the best for you. You're here for a reason. We want you to feel your best to get the results that you came for.
Yeah.
And that means a little bit of tough love. And it's always meant with the love, you know? I think people think tough love is a negative thing. It's like, no, it's the love part. It's just normally what you need to hear. And normally, note to self.
Women in our space as well don't really get that, like, from women. They get it from men, but not from women. And I fucking don't rate that at all. And I tough love the shit out of myself. If I didn't tough love the shit out of myself, I'd be a fucking mess, okay? Like, I need to police myself or I'd be in jail. Okay. Lou Shaw, I am menopausal or I'm peri at least. I am looking for static stretch ideas. We don't want you static stretching. We like dynamic stretching. So it's a stretching file. We want you to go through the stretches with nice fluid motions. Static stretching is suboptimal for everything and puts you're at a higher risk of injury. We just don't like it. Okay. Suzanne Downham. Hi both. This might seem like a silly question, but if I have frozen berries for breakfast that are then heated up in the microwave, does that still class as a portion of fruit and veg? Or does heating them up impact the goodness? No, that still counts. That's absolutely fine. And we'd rather that you bought frozen and then cook from there because actually it's got a higher nutrition quality. Yeah, it's fresh to death. It's literally like picked and fresh. Really good. It's a good option. And
People
always
always
cheap.
say that on like peas. It's like frozen within 1 hour of picking. I'm like,
It's a really good thing to do. Okay, anything on the live? Or if not, we'll do one more because we know we can
we've got quite a few here. Okay, so we're
go.
going
Oh,
through.
yeah, dude, let's do that.
Samantha, did you talk about battle cancer yet? I'm scared of the assault bike. Yeah, we did.
No, I haven't. So I've got quite a lot I've got to do behind the scenes on this. Okay, this is my call to action for all of you, and I'm going to put this in the group. Commit. If you voted yes, I need you to take a step back and be like, am I actually going to commit to this? Because we are going to have to pay for your, we've got a very, very good rate, obviously, and it's for charity, so it's not a big deal. We still have to pay for the groups. So I want you to take a step back and be like, did I really mean that? And if you're like, actually, I'm on the fence, I'm not sure, retract your vote. And I will put this at the top of the page. And then I'm going to give that another 24, 48 hours. And then I'm going to book the teams and you're all going to be confirmed. Once I've done that, I'm toying with this, whether or not I do it in the Facebook group, because I think some people would really like the performance element of the training or whatever, like watching Scott's videos or whatever without necessarily being involved, or really want to come down and support and maybe think you might want to do it next year, whatever. So I'm toying with the idea of either putting it all in the EC group or creating a sub battle cancer group. I don't know yet. So I'll figure that out, but I'm going to give it 24, 48 hours before I actually book the teams. So again, to reiterate, if you're unsure, if you're on the fence, retract your vote for yes, you want to do it. Again, to reiterate what I said last time, don't be scared, guys. This is like a fun, active thing. It's not like I don't expect any of you to be like, make my jaw hit the floor with your amazing assault bike fitness or your incredible like dumbbell snatch techers. It's not like that. It's like, oh, I'll have a little bit of fun. I'll try that for a bit. Oh, fuck, I'm tired now. You go. That's the vibe. Okay. And also, we want as many of you possible who are in those locations or around or near to come down and just have some fun, have a fun day out with us.
I think you should put it all in one group, in the same group.
In this EC group. Okay, fine.
I think people are interested, even if
I
they.
think people will like it. Yeah.
Okay, right, let's quickly go through these. Hi from Perth, Australia. I've got a few more days until I'm back to Edinburgh after a 3 week holiday. I've used this holiday as a diet break and reset. This holiday. Oh, no, wait, yeah. Step count has been 22,000 on average and managed some gym sessions, but have definitely gained some weight. I'm back on Monday. Would you recommend going straight back to 1600 to 1800 calorie range or start at a higher range? Back to what you did before, straight back in, plan it on the plane. Don't weigh yourself when you get home. There's at least a week of consistency, if not more, but at the bare minimum, a week, and be a bit strict with yourself that week. Like Chloe and I always talk about this, but holidays can be such a good pattern interrupt. Get back straight into routine, hit it hard, don't let it, like drag on, and you'll feel so much better. Hi, ladies. Quick one, newbie gains. Do these relate to individual muscle or total body? If I've worked out for 18 months, but say never done legs, if I started training legs, would I get newbie gains again? Does that make sense? Yes, it makes sense. And yes, you would. Hi. I am part of a gym that only provides classes and have been doing a mix of spin, Pilates, weights, but I want to start working out at home. I have kettlebells at home. Should I just do Chloe's kettlebell workouts weekly? Donna, I was doing goblet squats last night with 18 kilogram kettlebell, and my back was a little twingy slash achy on rep 16, then rested and did three sets. Was this okay, or should I have dropped the weight down? I think I could have squatted, so my legs were okay, but my bad a little twinge. Nothing too serious. It has been like this for years after falling off a chair years ago whilst wallpapering. If it's like a twingy back that flares up now and again and you feel it twinging, I would just stop. And then you'll probably be fine again the next day.
I agree.
For battle cancer, do you have to be peak fitness? No. Would love to
No.
visit and will take the training seriously, but worried about the fitness levels you need to be. No, it's not about that.
It's fun. It's funny. Like, I'll probably bomb out doing something ridiculous and you'll laugh at me. Like, it's fine. We're just going to have fun. It's for charity. It's literally all ages, all shapes, all sizes. Like, kids do it. Like, it's totally fine.
Nikki's just asking where the information is. It is all in the group. Chloe will pin it to the top of the page and also listen to the last live.
Yeah, listen to the last live. There is a lot more information coming. The first thing I need to do is figure out exactly who wants to do it. How many groups I have, I then have to book the groups. I'm going to put in exactly what it is, what the discipline is on the day, or the disciplines are on the day, I should say. I will put up some videos. Like, Scott's already done quite a lot. Like, so you guys don't, to be honest as well, as long as you know like the movement pattern, like we've talked about it last time with like a 2 kg dumbbell, as long as you know the movement pattern,
Most of
that's
you could just turn up today and do it.
yeah, exactly. Most of you could just turn up and do it. And obviously, I want you to turn up and be like, "Okay, well, I know what an assault bike looks like, and I've been on one for 10 minutes before. That's it." Or like, I spent 10 minutes learning like a dumbbell snatch. Done. Like, which is it's easy, I promise. Like, it looks intimidating, and you could. It's as hard as you want it to be. Exactly like our workouts. Like I say, you can do a snatch with a 2 kg dumbbell, and you could probably do the full 5 minutes, to be honest. Or you could challenge yourself a bit and do it with an 8 kg dumbbell and bomb out after 55 seconds. Whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's as hard or as easy as you want it to be, and we're there to have fun and support each other and laugh at each other. That's what it's all about, guys.
What is the IFS thing about in September? Is that for serious fitness people? No, anyone can come. There were quite a lot of EC people at the last one because everyone was asking where Clay was. But there are, to be transparent, it's mostly PTs that go, but anyone who's into fitness is more than
This is
welcome to
what
come.
I was going to ask you, because this is going to impact what I talk about, but this is a conversation we should have privately. It is, what's the ratio of like PTs and coaches to like normal?
I would say 60, 70% coaches,
Yeah. Do you
PTs.
target your talks to them specifically, or are you more
My
broad?
last one was like more EIQ vibe, so it was like teaching
Gotcha.
PTs about menopause.
Menopause, that's brilliant. Okay, well, we'll talk about this privately because I need to ask you some questions.
All right, okay, everyone.
Bye guys, love you.